I'm here with Michael McGarrity, Santa Fe area author, who will be speaking on the UNM Gallup campus Thursday, March 28th, starting at 6 in the evening. Hello, Michael.
It's nice to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Are you a New Mexico native?
Well, I am almost as close as you can get. So I guess you could say after many decades in the state that I'm nearly a native son.
You've spent much of your career in law enforcement or in support of law enforcement issues. I understand you have education in both psychology and clinical social work. You have worked as a police officer at times. You've worked in the infrastructure side of it as well. Do you care to tell me a little bit about your professional background?
Well, it's about 25 years in criminal justice, as you were saying, and a lot of it had to do with dealing with problems associated with juvenile delinquency. I've worked with chronically mentally ill patients who interface with the criminal justice system quite a bit. I've worked with hardcore heroin drug abusers, and I've also been a training and planning officer and a patrol officer, and I've taught at the New Mexico Law Enforcement Academy and worked for the Department of Corrections after the infamous 1980 riot. So all of my work has been in that global universe of criminal justice. I've done other things too, but you know, I could go on and on and on. I kept jumping from job to job throughout my career here in Santa Fe and had a lot of various interesting experiences and professional situations like that.
How did you first start getting involved with the writing side?
Well, really, I decided after having spent a couple of years working in a very intense environment, I needed to take some time off, and I thought to myself it might be fun to see if I could tell a story. I've always been an avid reader, and I was always drawn to the idea of being able to perhaps see if I had the talent to do that. And so I took some time off in the early 80s and tried my hand at it and failed dismally. But I had so much fun that I thought, well, you know, I'll just do this on the side as I can. I'll just keep writing. So that's the way I approached it. It was kind of as a hobby.
Listeners may have heard of a couple of your books. I think was Tularosa the one that you first got some recognition for?
That was my debut novel, yeah. It came out in 1996, and I thought it was just going to disappear into the black hole of first novels, but actually became a finalist for three literary awards, and so it got picked up by another publisher for a publication in a paperback format, and I looked at the bottom line, and I said, wow, maybe I can just do this full-time. So I've been a full-time writer since then.
Your latest novel, as I understand, is entitled Residue.
Continuation of my crime series. I wrote 12 crime series featuring a protagonist by the name of Kevin Kearney, and then I took a break and wrote a prequel trilogy about his antecedents, about his ancestors and his family history. And they're all set in New Mexico, including the historical novels. And Residue kind of picks up from the last book in the trilogy, which was titled The Last Ranch. And it sort of ties in to the end of that book with a mystery regarding the disappearance of a young woman when my protagonist was a student at New Mexico State after he had returned from Vietnam. They're contemporary novels, so the usual label that gets put on them is crime novels or police procedurals, because I do feature that particular point of view in my writing, that it's about what police officers do to solve crimes.
Some readers might compare you to some extent to, say, the work of Tony Hillerman. The reason I bring that up is because you helped establish the Hillerman McGarity Creative Writing Scholarship. Could you tell me a bit about how that came to be?
Well, before I do that, I have to say that Tony was very generous in his support of what I was doing as a writer. And we used to joke, and I would say that he had Navajo land and the Four Corners, and I had the rest of the state to write about. But I met Tony in the early 1960s when I was a student at UNM, and he'd just gone to work at UNM as an assistant to Tom Popejoy, who was the president then, and I was writing for the Daily Lobo. And that's how far back we went. And then when I reached the point that I was having some success as a novelist, I approached him with the idea of setting up a scholarship in his name. And he said, let me think about it. And he came back at me a couple days later and said, I'd be delighted to do that with you, but it has to be a scholarship in both of our names, which I thought was very gracious and gentlemanly of him to do that. So with that in mind, we put together a scholarship fundraising committee, and over the course of a couple of years, with the help of some really major philanthropists in Santa Fe and New Mexico, we raised enough money to establish an endowed scholarship at UNM. And so I'm very proud of that, and I see it as kind of a really neat kind of legacy to leave. And so far, they've been able to fund annually three scholarships at UNM in creative writing, which is a very nice thing.
When you were getting started, were there any comparable kinds of funding opportunities for you?
I really wasn't looking for that in my college or graduate education. So I did have some scholarships. Yes, I was a Ford Foundation scholar at UNM, and I was also a presidential scholar at the University of Iowa when I was getting my master's degree. So I wasn't looking for creative writing scholarships, but I certainly enjoyed being able to qualify for a few. And I also was able to use my GI Bill, which made a big difference.
How often do you set aside time for writing?
I try to do some work on my work in progress every day, whether it's moving ahead with the story or doing some research. Right now, I'm just in the beginning of a new chapter, so that's always interesting.
What advice would you give to someone who aspires to becoming a published author?
Well, I mean, I hear that question a lot, and my answer to it is really quite straightforward. I think the person has to be very, very persistent and have a tough skin to be able to face a lot of rejection, and have a modicum of talent, have some ability to tell a good story. I think what happens is a lot of people give up too easily, and they turn to the self-publishing format where they think, okay, I think I'm good enough. I don't care what these publishing houses and literary agents have to say, so I'm just going to publish the story on my own or find one of these outfits that will do it for me. And I don't know. I mean, it took me from the time I started writing part-time when I could fit it in around my job, to the time I was able to sell a contract, it was almost a decade and a half. And I don't think there are a lot of people out there that are willing to persevere like that, and they give up too easily.
Michael, have there been any inquiries about adapting your novels into any screenplays or other media?
Oh, yeah, I've had a number of options, but the truth with Hollywood is that 98% of the films of the books or properties that are optioned for television or movies never go into production. So it's very rare when that happens.
For you, what would have been some of the more gratifying aspects of becoming a full-time writer?
First of all, it's a very rare phenomenon. There are only a couple of hundred fiction writers in the country that make enough of a living to support themselves and their families through writing. So I've been very lucky in that regard, that right from the start, I've been able to make my way fairly comfortably as a writer. The other thing that's just so neat about it is to find people that are still discovering my work and still enjoying it as if it's brand new to them, and to hear back from them that they're so happy that they're reading my books because they ring true and they resonate, and especially New Mexicans seem to be drawn to them because of the authenticity of my settings and my characters. And to hear also from people that they like them so much that they're rereading them is a great compliment that just tickles me when I hear it.
How often is your work inspired by real-life events or real people?
Well, it's a combination. There are some of my stories that are drawn really right from experience, either mine or other people's that have been in law enforcement and criminal justice. And then some of it is just imagination work. It's just thinking of a good critical event that can start a story and get it underway.
I'm speaking to Michael McGarrity, an author. You're based in Santa Fe.
That's right. We've been up here in Santa Fe for 45 years now.
You're going to be speaking on the UNM Gallup campus Thursday, March 28th.
That's right. It's at 6 p.m. At the Zollinger Library.
There will be a Q&A and book signing as well after your talk.
Yes, I understand that the college bookstore has placed an order for a number of my new title, and they're going to have a couple of my earlier books there as well. So I think Residue is already in the store and available for people who might be interested in picking it up before the event.
Michael, other than interviews, how do you help market your work?
Well, a lot of that is done through my publisher, and when a new book comes out, they do a good job of advertising it to bookstores and booksellers, and I go on a little tour, usually just in the southwest part of the country, and I do interviews like this. I do frequent interviews with radio shows and sometimes television as well.
Listeners who are interested in Michael McGarrity's work can certainly go to places like Amazon.com. There are still a few physical bookstores around where you can probably find your work.
Oh, there are a lot of bookstores, especially in Santa Fe and Albuquerque and other large cities. I'm really sad that Gallup doesn't have a bookstore anymore. I think that's a terrible thing. I'm glad the campus store is there and can kind of fill in, but I'd love to see somebody sort of step up in the Gallup area and put a bookstore back in that community. I think it would be a real cultural addition to the Gallup community, and I think many people in the community would support it. I certainly hope they would.
Anyone listening who would like to find out more about Michael McGarrity can visit your website. That's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, McGarrity, M-C, G as in girl, A-R-R-I-T as in Tom, Y.com, MichaelMcGarrity.com.
Yeah, and they can also find me on Facebook, and if they'd like, they can put in a friends request. So they're interested, go to Facebook and type in my name, and that'll take you to my Facebook page. I have two of them. And you can also email me through my website, www.michaelmcgarrity.com.
Is there anything else, Michael, that you'd like to share with our listeners as we begin to wrap up today?
Well, I'm just looking forward to coming to Gallup. It's been a while since I've been there. Back when Tularosa came out in 96, there was a little bookstore there. And I remember going there for a book signing 23 years ago. So, but I've been to Gallup after that, too, as well, but not in a while. And I'm excited about coming back and seeing what's happening in Gallup and visiting with the people that come out to the event on the 28th.
I'm speaking with author Michael McGarrity, who will be talking at the UNM Gallup campus on Thursday, March 28th, starting at 6 in the evening at Solinger Library. There will be a Q&A and book signing afterwards. His book, Residue, is available at the UNM Gallup bookstore. Michael, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.